We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between two and five players to fill out your pick'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in three Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he bent me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. If Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose, and he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
Hello and welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I am your host, JP John Paws. With me today, very special guest. You may know him as Rapid Delivery, of course, former HWA champion. He was in WWF, ECW, SmackDown, you name it. He is Mr. Rory Fox. Welcome back to the two-man power trip. How you doing?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing good. What's going on in your world? What have you been up to?
I'm still a weekend warrior hitting it. Three weekends out of the month, man, hitting the towns. I go to St. Louis, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Sioux City, several places in Iowa. I'm out there and I'm loving it.
That's awesome. Still doing it. And we were kind of saying just before we got on air, 25th anniversary going on of the True Life on MTV special.
Yeah, that's right. 2024 is the 25th anniversary of Rapid Delivery Rory Fox on through life, I want to be a professional wrestler. And it's funny, I just turned 48 in November, and here we are in January. I had two main events for two different championships and two promotions. How crazy is that?
Wow, damn. Didn't even know you were, you know, not that old, but older than I was. Wow, it would look like you'd be younger to me.
No, yeah, I was 22 when I debuted.
Yeah, makes sense. Crazy. Do a lot of people still mention, by the way, that, like, hey, remember True Life? Is that what most people said? He rapid delivery.
Well, it's, I get it also from interacting with Matt Cardona and Brian Myers on the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. They, I'm also known as Always Angry Rory Fox on there. You know, I hate Matt Cardona. I feel like he stole my life. He's got my life. He's got the hot woman, all the money in the bank. So they know me as Always Angry, or they also, yeah, whenever you hear Rapid Delivery, they remember True Life and the Newspaper Boy and all that. But I've had other personas too, based off of the MTV thing. Like I can call myself, I'm pro wrestling's original reality TV star. I mean, that's a fact. So I can use that. I was there before The Miz, you know. Whatever persona I have that night, you know, if I'm the heel, I can really play that up. And I even dusted off my satin MTV jacket from the 80s that referee Joe Copez gave me out in HWA, you know, 20 years ago.
I got that
bad boy out now for the 25th anniversary.
That's great. I love that. When you go back and you look at that, it's like crazy. I can't believe it was 25 years ago. It's absolutely insane how fast time has kind of flown by here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. My back in 99, this is how crazy it was. Back then, you had to send promotions a VHS tape, an 8x10, and a resume to every promotion if you wanted to get booked.
Man, crazy. Those were such different times. And nowadays, with like just basically having it on social media, and I don't know, it's so much easy, readily available, and guys will know who other guys are pretty easily nowadays.
Yeah, you just have to send someone a link and they watch it and they can tell if you're the shits or if you're good from this little highlight. You know, you just click on a link instead of having to send out tapes.
What do you think about that? Because obviously you were around back then to be sending in the tapes, and now it's so much easier. Do you like that or you don't like that? I mean, does it take away some of the magic?
I don't think it. I mean, it's technology now. Take advantage of it. It's so easy to get booked now. All your information is right there. And the other thing that these kids, they have it so easy. They can go on YouTube and watch pretty much any match they want, or go on Peacock. Oh, so-and-so, okay, let me look him up on Peacock or on YouTube and see how this guy wrestles, or I can steal this spot or this spot. And it's so easy to research now. Back in the day, we had tape traders.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much, yeah. You just did a tape trading thing or basically, you know, you send it to Dr. Tom, you find out where where he's at in WWE, and you send him a video or something. Yeah, it just absolutely.
Yep.
And who knows? He didn't even watch the tape.
I used to send, I used to send the tapes to Kevin Kelly, and then later on it was Tom Pritchard, and
I think Flash Flanagan, I was just talking to recently, he was saying how he used to just send in the tapes and over, like that was just the way it was. You had to get noticed somehow.
Also, they appreciate that initiative. They said, God, this guy keeps sending in tapes. He must really want a job. He really wants an opportunity. So
yeah,
it shows a lot of initiative as well. You're investing in that. You're paying these expenses to keep sending them resume and tapes and 8x10s.
When you look back 25 years ago at the MTV thing and you know, basically making a name for yourself back then in a different way, do you think that is interesting too? Because then they did Tough Enough, and these guys like The Miz and other guys made their name in interesting. Do you think that's a nice of a little, just a little bit of a leg up for guys like that, just not doing it the traditional way, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. You could avoid a wrestling school. You can go directly to Tough Enough and WWE will like you because you haven't been touched yet, and they could train you exactly how they want you to be. So that's a, I mean, that's a chance right into the system there, absolutely. When Tough Enough came out, though, you know, at Les Thatcher's HWA school, we were told not to even participate in that. And because supposedly they didn't want any trained wrestlers. And you did see on the tape, I think there was some wrestlers that would get in the ring and they wiped their feet off. And then Al Snow or Taz noticed right away, why did you wipe your feet off? You only know that if you're trained. So the first season, the first season was only supposed to be people that weren't trained. So really no one from HWA even attempted that.
When you look back, how did you actually get that opportunity? Like, what was going on with HWA and Les Thatcher at that point? How did that opportunity come about?
Well, MTV reached out to some schools, and I think Les was a little more receptive of them coming into our school and seeing the inner workings of the business. I mean, it was very revealing at the time in professional wrestling to show inside the training schools, but Les looked at it like, this is major advertisement for my school. I can grow my brand and, you know, really make some money, you know, training professional wrestlers. So Les was very easy to deal with. MTV was very happy with it. And it all goes back to this young man named Matt Taglia, kid from Chicago. MTV wanted to do a special on someone training from the very beginning and then having a match all within this 90-minute program. And he went to training like, maybe three or four sessions, and it didn't work out. He had drug problems. There's times where we couldn't even wake him up at 5 o'clock in the evening to go to training. And I think the plan was to train him and then have him debut in a battle royal. And that didn't quite work out. And at the same time on this show, it was the story of a wrestler having his first match, a wrestler currently in WWE chasing his first championship, which it was, believe it or not, Triple H, going for his very first world heavyweight title. And it had Mr. USA Tony Atlas as the guy at the end of his career. And these three careers were intertwined through this 90-minute episode.
So basically, Les was just more inclined to do it than some other places. And obviously, he had a lot of name value as well.
Absolutely.
So how do you become what you like? How do you become Rapid Delivery? How do you kind of become more of the documentary than maybe, you know, than the other guy, the Taglia?
Well, they already have this. They had this footage already with Matt Taglia. And it's like, we have to carry on this story, even if Matt Taglia is not going to be around. So they went around and interviewed all the trainees at the school. Sorry. And they heard my story. I'm from a town of 100 people in Watkins, Iowa. I picked up everything I had and moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. I worked in a factory for over 2 years to save money for wrestling school. And Les knew I was about 7 months into my training, and they're like, hey, we like this kid. And Les thought, why don't we have the kid from Iowa have his first professional wrestling match? And all because someone else made a mistake, I got that opportunity.
When you look at that, and it happens that way, I mean, that's just great luck for you, right? I mean, just like, wow. And just in the typical pro wrestling form, somebody else goes down, somebody else needs to step up and take that spot.
Yeah, that's the history of professional wrestling. One wrestler screws up, another one gets the opportunity. It all goes back to Triple H and the click curtain call. He was supposed to be King of the Ring in 96. And when that happened, Stone Cold Steve Austin was given that opportunity. And look where his career went. It's all about maximizing opportunities. And that's what I was given in that moment. Now, Les Thatcher and myself, we filmed on the show. Les did not want us to rehearse it at all. He's like, okay, Steve, we're going to sit down and we're going to decide what your character is going to be. Name everything. I was like, okay. So I had my nickname, I wanted to be Rapid Fire. I saw it in a Brandon Lee movie. It's like, oh, that's a cool name.
Yeah.
So I had a list of names with the R and a list of names with F. And Les just read the sheet of paper like this was the names I came up with. Ricky Fury, Rob Faith, Ron Fargo, Rory Fury. It's like, oh. He's like, I like Rory Fox. So I was like, okay, rapid fire, Rory Fox. And he's like, well, let's talk about that. How about a compromise? You know, you have the youthful look. You look like Opie from Mayberry. How about rapid delivery, Rory Fox, the Iowa newspaper boy? It's like, and I was like this. I was like, great. Yes. Sounds good. He just wanted to be out there wrestling. And a year later, I ran into Tony Atlas. We had a show together where I actually got to wrestle Tony Atlas. And the first thing Tony said to me is like, Rory, I saw that episode and I saw your eyes when Les was telling you you're going to be a newspaper boy. And he's like, I saw your eyes and I just rolled off the couch laughing. I know about Les Thatcher and his ideas.
That's great. It's crazy he remembered, but obviously unforgettable. You can't forget that. Why the paperboy gimmick, though? I don't get that. Where's that coming from? I know you're saying to look like Opie from Andy Griffith, but like, why?
It was be a newspaper boy or let Shark Boy have me be a pizza delivery guy. And I was like, no. that was the thing. That reminds me. Shark Boy was helping book, and he wanted to wrap a delivery to team up with this chubby guy that's a pizza delivery guy. And just, it's like, come on, man. Is this a rib? But I think it's just Les had that in his mind when he heard that rapid. He just thought rapid delivery. And I just, for some reason, had this newspaper boy in his mind. And they wanted me to ride a bicycle, too, to the ring. You know, hindsight 2020, I probably should have done that and embraced it. Who knows if I would have made that character so over the top. Maybe WWF would have been like, hey, it's a newspaper boy. He drives his bike to the ring and throws newspapers to all of the crowd. And like, who knows? I mean, that could have been so off the wall. Maybe that would have been my opportunity and it would have separated myself because there were so many big size guys in 99, 2000, 2001. If you wanted a job back then, you had Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, and I couldn't compete with that. My whole thing was I didn't even think about WWF when I was trained. I wanted to go to WCW where they had the legit cruiserweight division, and I thought I could be like a Shane Douglas type of a cruiserweight division. That was what I wanted, and then WCW was gone.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah, 2001, they're out the door. That is interesting, because if you play an over-the-top kind of comedy role, who knows, you could have been like a Crash Holly, or, you know, something in WWF at that point, you're right.
And that's the funny thing, when Crash Holly debuted, it was reported on some websites that Rory Fox was Crash Holly.
I can see that, yeah.
But yeah, he was so much better than me at that time, and he Crash Holly did such a wonderful job. He nailed it. I couldn't have performed at that level yet. I would have been so scared shitless. And I mean, I had one match in front of 20,000 people, you know, wrestling Haku, right before Raw went live on the air in Minneapolis. It was for that Metal Jack taping. So maybe eventually I would have got used to it. And then you're also working with all those experienced agents, and night after night, you could work house shows and get better. But yeah, Crash Holly nailed it. If, you know, maybe if he wasn't there for that spot, maybe I could have done it, but it was perfect casting.
Now, how did that come about, that match against Haku? And what did you think about your experience at that point?
Wow. That was less than 2 years into the business. And I had already moved home from Cincinnati because I couldn't afford to live there anymore. I was so broke. And I got myself booked on my own that time. That was back when I sent the videotape in and resume in 8x10 to Kevin Kelly in talent relations. And he called me on the phone and left me a voicemail. This is Kevin Kelly from the World Wrestling Federation. Please give me a call back. It's like, wow. So I got booked in Minneapolis, Minnesota and Grand Forks, North Dakota. And how I got booked for that match was I saw Tony Garea looking around for extras. So I was out the corner of his eye and I started doing my little Hindu squats. And he looks at me and goes, "You don't mind getting beat up, do you, kid?" I'm like, "Absolutely not, sir." So next thing you know, I'm wrestling Haku in front of 20,000 people at the Target Center. And I, the very first house show I went to in 1986, Haku was on the show. He was called King Haku then. This was even before the Islanders. And who'd have thought this little boy in this crowd is one day going to wrestle Haku in the Target Center in Minneapolis out of all the people in that building that night that watched that WWF live event.
That's awesome. What an experience, especially Haku, all-time yeah. legend, all-time tough guy as well.
And the great thing was, years later, I got to see him again and thank him when I saw him in Kansas City around 2017. And then eventually, Austin Bales, he's the promoter for Central Empire Wrestling here in Iowa. And Haku was booked on our big on one of our big shows. And Austin told him I was on the show. So Haku had me pick him up at the airport, and I took him out for breakfast, and he said, I want to buy you breakfast, you know? And we sat there and just had a great conversation and had breakfast together. Then I took him to the show that night. And whenever I see him now, we'll always have that bond. And it's something I'll have for the rest of my life, you know?
Very, very cool. Did he beat you up bad though in the ring? Was Tony Garea right?
No, Haku took care of me, and he actually got a little heat backstage because he allowed me to hit him with a missile drop kick, and I got a little more offense in than they would want a Samoan monster like him to give some fresh meat, white baby face from Watkins, Iowa. So I'll never forget that too, because that's one of my best highlights, me doing a missile drop kick, and you see nothing but people in the crowd and taking Haku off his feet with that big afro.
That's awesome. Yeah, wow, he gave you a lot in that match. It's crazy.
And I went back several more times for extra talent work, but I never got that elusive dark match that I always dreamed of, just to show them what I can do. So the closest thing I got to it was wrestling Haku. So that's, I'll always treasure that memory.
When you get invited back, is that you on your own, or is that a promoter getting you, you know, the look, or is Kevin Kelly calling you back, or somebody else?
You know, once you get in, you just stay in contact with who's ever in charge at that time. And this is a crazy thing back then as well. Now it's just, you just email the guy and he lets you know. I had to keep calling. I would call week after week. If I would see WWE is coming back to the Midwest somewhere, oh, I could go to Des Moines. I could go to Kansas City, Chicago, wherever. And Tommy Dreamer would get in there and I would call him and he would book me sometimes in Kansas City. And then later on, it was, what was it? Simon Dean?
Yep.
Bucci.
Yep.
I don't think he liked me because that was, yeah, I got nothing right now. Nothing right now. Da, da, da. And that's the way it was. You had to call these guys once a week. And eventually they're like, okay, I can get you in this day. Yeah. Who was the talent relations guy? Mark Carano?
Yep.
I know he's got the bad reputation, but he was another guy. I could call him up and he'd give me some dates. So it all depends. Whoever is in charge at that time, if you're in with them, you're in the surrounding states, you're booked if you let them know you're available. So that was one thing I learned about the networking. Once you're in until they change talent relations.
When you're going in there for those matches, is the pay like great? Like sometimes some of the guys say, oh, it's better than working an indie shot or something. Do you get paid decent? Not an exact figure, of course, but do you get paid pretty well?
Oh, absolutely. It's for a lot of us. That 1 or 2 days, that's like our payday going to our 40-hour job for the week, you know? But the thing is though, all those WWE bookings you got, then you got to claim those at the end of the year on your income.
Yeah, of course.
And it makes your taxes a little more expensive, but I mean, those are just memories you always cherish. So it's worth it.
When you get booked there, how many TV matches have you had? I know you had a couple. Have you had like a bunch more than I'm thinking?
Well, it was Haku on Metal, Heidenreich on SmackDown, Umaga on Monday Night Raw, Stevie Richards on ECW, and then, of course, Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder. That was the last time I went that ECW match, yeah.
Man, that was absolutely crazy, that one. What went wrong there? I mean, obviously, he grabs the tights. I mean, he just rips the tights as he's throwing you to the ropes?
Absolutely. I mean, it was so unprofessional. He pulled my trunk so hard that I thought it was a rib. Because I've been on the independents for years and years at that time, and no one had pulled my trunks like that. I felt like he was seriously trying to rip my trunks off. And he's like, oh, no, bro. Those trunks are made of dust, bro. And like, dude, you pulled so hard. But, you know, I'm not a WWE superstar, so I'm a total idiot. I don't know anything, even if I had 15 years in the business at the time. You know, I wasn't under contract, so it obviously had to be my fault. You know, it was that kind of BS.
But when he does that, though, was he being a little bit too stiff, a little bit too snug? I mean,
he was stiff because they – okay, here's the thing, too. For TV match, the superstars got to get over, and they laid the shots in on us enhancement guys. It's like, what can we do about it? You know, the punches were stiff, the kicks were stiff, which – some things never change. I hear Cardona is still really stiff with the kicks and punches. So. But yeah, no, Matt Cardona was stiffer than Haku was. If that tells you anything.
Wow, that's crazy.
Or Stevie Richards. But I will say that WWE ring, though, when that ECW show, when Stevie Richards shot me into the turnbuckle, I'm used to, you know, independent wrestling rings. When I hit that corner, it was like, oh my God, that hurts so bad. And then the clothesline came. Them corners are brutal. That's really, because it's just the ring is so tight. And when you hit that, there was like no give. I can still feel that one.
Crazy. But he was.
I will tell you this, though. One of my highlights was that Monday Night Raw match. I wanted a match on Sunday Night Heat, but I got selected for Monday Night Raw because if you think about it, the white Iowa guy from the Midwest, a nice Midwestern kid against the Samoan Savage Umaga. Yes. I mean, it was the perfect story. So that night, it was the night before, Umaga destroyed Ric Flair in 3 minutes on a pay-per-view. So what's going to happen to Rory Fox? And this is, I mean, I was jacked 205. I had the traps up to my ears, and I'm like, oh my God, this is my chance to get signed now. But I got Monday Night Raw, so I'm not going to be able to show what I could do. But in that 3 minutes, when Umaga threw me around the ring and then finally slammed me down, I was told not to move. So I'm laying there like I'm dead for his top rope splash. And I'm just thinking, I can't even brace myself. If you ever see Jimmy Snuka do it, the wrestler's always going to raise their arms up to catch him. I'm supposed to be laying there unconscious. So I have my eyes closed, and I'm just like, well, I guess if I'm going to die in the ring, it might as well be on national TV. And I'm just waiting for it to be over. And Umaga hits me. His hands and knees took all the impact. His belly even barely touched me. It's like, wow, that's how athletic Umaga was. And that big ass in the turnbuckle in the corners, it's just his ass hitting the buckle. So, and I'm an enhancement guy. He could have easily just came in full force, his ass hit me in the head. It's like, what am I going to say? And he totally took care of me. I'm very thankful for that. Oh, that's awesome. And that same night, I think, not there, but it reminds me of other shows. When I lived in Texas, I would do the Houston, Dallas, Corpus, Loop, and Umaga would be there. And then there'd be these two little twins that were there watching the shows and hanging out before the show. And that was the Usos.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I wonder what they're up to today.
Yeah.
Okay, Deadline Mania. Yeah. Not bad.
Yeet.
No yeet. Yeet. Yeah. No yeet. Yeah. Yeah.
How about that? The other one, he's making money off a no yeet shirt. That's crazy.
I love it. All those Samoan guys are awesome. And it seems like they look like they're super stiff, but they're not.
No. Totally take care of you and so athletic.
unlike Matt Cardona, who stiffs you and then rips your tights.
He's still a stiff goof.
When that happens, right, do you guys go to the finish early, or was that you just keep going? You just hold your tights and keep going?
No, this is when Matt was so inexperienced, he still had to get his finishing maneuver in, and I'm trying to keep my trunks covering my balls, you know? And he was, and everyone still laughs, like, ooh, you had to finish your match, man? Hey, I had to get my moves in, bro. Are you serious? Yeah, I got to get it in. So, yeah.
So he hits you with the finish, and you're holding your tights, right, as he hits the finish?
I'm in the corner. He's doing the woo, 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 and I'm covering my balls. He kicks me in the head there and then yanks me out to the middle of the ring, and I'm still covering this up. And then he had a different maneuver. Then it was some kind of neck breaker. He didn't have the that one-legged, what, the radio silence he uses now. So, yeah, he had to spin me around some kind of neck breaker while I'm covering my balls for TV.
Come on, Cardona. Damn it. Come on.
And I was like, oh my God, they're not going to be able to use this footage. I'm never going to be able to go back. And I went backstage and Vince didn't say a word. He was just silent. And then I guess as soon as I made my way through to the back, that's when he burst out in laughter and everybody was laughing and going crazy.
So it was like a comedic thing behind the scenes. Backstage.
Yeah, but he made me feel like I screwed up and we're not going to be able to use this footage. And if I would have knew then what I know now, I'd be like, hey, Vince, how about my character is every week I have some kind of wardrobe malfunction.
And yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's good shit, pal. I didn't think of it then.
That's not a bad idea at all. And then you kind of just, you know, play into the joke. Oh, this tight spell. Oh, this. That
happened. Like, not again.
Yeah.
Which I kind of did on, are you familiar with the Talking Shop of Manias, the Good Brothers did?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It turned out I had a match earlier in the show against Swoggle with Brian Myers in his corner. And Swoggle, after Myers knocked me out, Swoggle tore my, he pulled my trunks off. And I'm running out of the ring nude. And later on in the main event, was it Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows are having their graveyard match. And they're in the middle of their match. And I come running through in my jock strap. And I slipped and fell. And I did classic Bobby Heenan, like, to the camera. I made sure I turned where my ass was facing the camera. So they got this nice old butt shot. And then I look at the camera. I can't believe it. It happened again. And I go running off, and then they're kind of looking at each other, and then they go back to fighting. So
I love it.
And that was my idea, and that got me back in later in the show too, you know, the main event of that program.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just taking initiative.
Yeah, and just like taking a joke or taking something negative and, hey, why don't I use it? I'll work with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I got some mileage out of that too, being a regular on their podcast and then the Talking Shop of Mania. So it gave me a new life here. I, you know, in the Midwest, people were familiar with me, but this got me over to a new audience through Talking Shop of Manias and the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast world. Two other little worlds there.
And you can play the heel on there, right?
Absolutely. That's what I love to do. I love to annoy the fans and just, I love irritating the fans.
And Cardona plays the big baby face over there.
And which is funny now in that world, yes, but everywhere else now, he's a douchebag heel on all the shows. Now I would probably have to be the sympathetic baby face.
Yes, yes, the paper boy is back. Yeah. Rapid delivery. Yeah, you were a Fargo though, weren't you, for that Ryder match?
Yes, because Alicia Fox was under contract, and me being a 15-year veteran of pro wrestling, I wasn't allowed to use Fox because there was an Alicia Fox. So I just threw Fargo out there, and they're like, okay, you'll be Rory Fargo. And that was the thing. It's like, okay, if I'm going to get beat up quick, at least can we get my name out there, you know, help my Rory Fox name. And then people, they're, oh, it's a Rory Fargo. Like, it's like, but people caught on. It got out in the reports. Rory Fargo is Rory Fox, the newspaper boy. So.
they picked Fargo or you picked it?
I picked Fargo. Like Jackie Fargo, you know, and I had the long bleach blonde hair. So I was like, hey, I grew my hair out hoping I could get a job. I kept changing my look because the short hair wasn't getting it done. And then looking like a little mini Brock Lesnar, they didn't go for my pitch of how about I be Brock Lesnar's little brother and I'll be a cruiserweight Lesnar. Like, no.
Yeah, no, they weren't going for that. The Paperboy, obviously, great gimmick. I think you're saying,
The one idea I had, though, that Michael Hayes was interested in was, how about I'd be a former child actor turned pro wrestler? And his name was Corey Cameron. So you have the Corey Haim and you have your Kirk Cameron. You got Corey Cameron, CK, on the trunks.
I like that. That's actually, that's pretty good.
And I thought that would be an equalizer for me. I could be an undersized guy because I'm a former child actor. And I would come out with one of the acting chairs like the Miz has now. I was going to come out with one of those and get beat up in the ring and then take a powder and have my assistant give me an Evian water to drink. Then I'd say, take two, and then get back in the ring. And,
that's not a bad idea.
I tried pitching it to Terry Taylor at WCW, too, and they didn't even respond.
What could have been? The Paperboy, the Paperboy thing is funny just because the old Nintendo game was a great the game. The Paperboy, that was great. Uh-huh.
And also with the former child actor, I wanted to have like a tearaway tuxedo like Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and come out with a fake Oscar award, you know?
Boy, that's not bad.
Or an Emmy. Couple
of good ideas here, yeah.
And that was back when that stuff was all over VH1 and Surreal Life. And, you know, it was just the perfect time in that what was that movie David Spade was in? That
Joe Dirt?
He's a former child actor, and then he turns into a has-been, and then he gets Dickie Roberts. That's pretty much
I don't know why I was thinking Joe Dirt. Yes.
Yeah, that was my big idea that Michael Hayes listened to for 2 minutes, and then one of the divas came up and interrupted, and that was it.
Ruined it, yep.
Couldn't wait till my conversation's over, because I'm an extra, so they just come up and interrupt, you know?
Right, of course. Typical, very typical.
And that was it.
When you look at that, as far as like MTV, do you think that would be maybe, let's capitalize on this? This guy has MTV momentum at all, or that was never a thought?
Well, they would have if... I mean, see, that was you had the True Life show, but if WWE had their own thing, that Tough Enough. So I don't think they wanted to cross any kind of cross-pollinating there. They had their own thing. They wanted Tough Enough. They didn't want anything to do really with the True Life. They had their own new vehicle, the Tough Enough.
So. Was HWA still a part of WWE's developmental at that point or no?
No, they weren't developmental yet. The other thing I forgot, I will say, Kevin Kelly, when I had the match with Haku on commentary, he does say, he said to Rory Fox, you know, he was on a MTV reality show a couple of years ago, and now WWF has an upcoming show called Tough Enough. And they go, who could be the next Rory Fox in the making on Tough Enough? He did say that, so.
Right.
But they didn't put two and two together. Like, hey, let's throw Rory in Tough Enough.
Yeah, really capitalize on that. Yeah, they should have.
I mean, who knows? Maybe I could have been Josh Matthews on there, you know? Who knows?
Yeah, but, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, so
I didn't know then. I didn't know those things then. You had to really stay on them, like keep pitching ideas. Unfortunately, a lot of times, though, what I've heard over the years and I've seen is independent wrestlers pitch ideas to the office, and then they give it to the people that are already under contract. You know, the Spirit Squad, we had cheerleaders at HWA, male cheerleader. And they had their Spirit Squad. So I put two and two together there.
They just take the gimmicks that they like and they'll steal them.
Yes.
So to speak.
Make, as Vince McMahon would say, let's make it our own.
Yes, exactly.
And do it better.
Yes, very, very typical of Vince and the Machine there. So HWA really wasn't a part of WWE until 2001, a little bit into it when they bought out WCW.
Yeah, WWF was interested, but they didn't make an offer yet, and WCW told them or maybe it was Gary Juster. I don't know. It's like, have you signed yet? And Les was like, no, they haven't offered us anything. He goes, well, don't sign with us. So we had the WCW one for a while. And then when that was over, we got that WWF deal, which sadly, I wasn't living in Cincinnati when we got the WWF deal. So I was at home in Iowa and I was watching all these live bar shows in Cincinnati. It's like, there's guys getting to wrestle Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, Mike Awesome. They're all part of these shows. I'm like, whoa. And by the time I got back, I think we had the deal for maybe 3 months and then it was a WWE pulled the plug on it. So I missed out on a lot of opportunities there. I was going to have a feud. Mike Sanders was booking the shows at the time. What's his name? He was with Matt Hardy when they had the version one. Shannon Moore. I was going to have a feud at HWA with Shannon Moore. I was really looking forward to it. But then he got called up to be with Matt Hardy, the whole version one gimmick.
So, wow. Damn, what could have been? You're just missing out on some opportunities here.
And I was at the tail end, too, of the HWA tapings down at OVW. So I got to do a couple of those, and then it was over.
What was that experience like? Because it felt like they had so much talent at that point, like almost too many guys.
Oh, it's great. You had Jim Cornette doing commentary on our TV show. It was wonderful. I wish I could have had more of that. But there were so many wrestlers there. The show was full of like six-man tags and tag team matches and triple threat matches, and everything was like 2 minutes long. So TV was, it wasn't that fun to, as Pepper Parks would say, he's the Blade at AEW. He lived in Cincinnati, you know, and you're driving to Louisville 90 minutes to tag in, ring the arm a couple times and tag out. And that's all you do in a match. Yeah, that's frustrating. And they weren't getting paid to do that. And that's the gas money. And we're broke wrestlers. And yeah.
What was the point of that, though? Just to get a look at some of the guys for 2 seconds?
Well, it's just the guys under contract at WWE, they needed other guys to wrestle, so they wrestled the HWA guys. And then they also had WWE guy versus WWE guy or WCW. But they needed us also there, too, because they needed people to wrestle. So you look at, you're going to be on TV this week. Oh, great. You get to ring the arm 2 times and tag out.
Were HWA guys mostly jobbing to the OVW guys because it's OVW TV?
Actually, no. With us doing the booking, he took care of a lot of his HWA guys. The guys that he had some really good talent there, you know, Chad Collier, Nigel McGuinness, who else there? Ray Steele. These are guys that should have had contracts anyway. So those guys got taken care of, but maybe some opening guys would do the jobs, you know, the job matches.
BJ Whitmer, Chet Jablonski.
Yeah, BJ Whitmer was there too. Yeah, Chet the Jet, who had a nice run in Puerto Rico, and Pepper Parks, who was the Blade later on. Yeah.
Some good names in there, especially Nigel. I feel like
the other Matt Stryker, he was really good.
Yes, with the eyebrow, yes.
Yeah, he had the unibrow.
The unibrow, yeah, not eyebrow, the unibrow, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Nigel, maybe.
Best and his unibrow was legit. He didn't use a marker like, what's his name? Santonio or Santino. Yeah, Santino Morella recently said that it was a marker. Well, he fooled me. I thought he was walking around with that unibrow. That's, you know, that's really caring about your character, you know. You're taking it everywhere.
It's funny, Matt Stryker is like kind of a serious wrestler, but doing like a weird gimmick like that, but it worked. Got over for a bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was saying Nigel may be one of the best of the bunch too. He was great.
Yeah, it had me wondering lately on AEW with the way Edge has been telling Nigel to shut up at ringside. Do you think maybe they might get one match out of Nigel?
I hope so, because that was the rumor. I remember last year when they had that all-in show, and he was going to be a part of some announcements. Like, oh, maybe he'll have his final match in Wembley. That'd be awesome. Or have a match.
With him growing up in England, I can't see how he could pass that up, wrestling once, you know, in a stadium.
Yeah.
In front of people he grew up with, and they knew when he was a skinny kid, he had this dream of coming to America and becoming a professional wrestler. God, that would be tempting.
And when he was wrestling, I know he hasn't wrestled in quite a while. When he was wrestling, one of the best in the world. So getting him on the card, I mean, you're probably going to have a pretty damn good match to showcase as well.
Absolutely. He's trained by Les Thatcher, and they also studied. He can do any of that, all that British style wrestling. You know, he's an encyclopedia of wrestling moves.
As we wind it down here, we head towards the finish. What are some regrets, if you have any, in the wrestling business? I know maybe not getting Cardona back for the tights, but any other regrets you have?
Well, I regret not following up on the wardrobe malfunction. Like, I was so devastated that I only wrestled for two more months. I dropped the 3XW Wrestling Championship in Des Moines. I cut my hair and I quit. And I was maybe 34 at the time. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of being broke. I wish I would have hung on a little longer and tried. My regret is I didn't go to TNA. They wanted me to fly myself down there, and I was so broke. I didn't want to fly down there.
Right.
But when they were in Nashville, maybe I should have found some way, go down with Shark Boy to Nashville just a few times. Because that's the thing. So much of this business is right place at the right time. Hey, if so-and-so's injured or this guy can't wrestle tonight, you can fill in. So yep. I regret not trying to do more with TNA. But other than that, I mean, I've got to do a lot of things. I've got to wrestle the Barbarian. I got to wrestle Honky Tonk Man. I got to team with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So many other legends. And even now, when I go to SICW for Herb Simmons down in the St. Louis area, he always has legends on the show. And just getting to hang out with Ronnie Garvin and Tito Santana. And I team with Cowboy Bob Orton sometimes. I mean, just what they have accomplished in their career. And I just get to be around them for a little while and pick their brain and just carry on the professional wrestling the way I was trained. I just love to do that. And I'm going to keep wrestling on the weekends as long as I can. Because I forgot this part. There was about 4 years that went after the wardrobe malfunction. I quit the business for 4 years. I never said I'm retired. I'm not one of them taking the boots off the ring. I just disappeared. And that itch came back. And here I am, you know, ever since 2014, you know, weekend warrior. I live for the weekends. I do my job during the week, and Friday comes, I'm ready to go.
I love it. And still people remember Rapid Delivery. I mean, you said 25 years later after the MTV True Life special, the documentary there, and people still remembering it. It's great.
And yeah. And you know, if I can inspire people as well, you know, I'm 48 and I can still wrestle at a high level out there. If you stay active and take care of yourself, you can keep wrestling. And I just hope, you know, I love wrestling with these young guys today, just like how when I was a rookie, I had veterans to teach me the right way how to do things. Like today, it's like you're going to have a totally different kind of wrestling match with me than you're going to have with someone else. We're not going to remember a whole match. We'll have bullet points, but the rest is going to be in the ring and how the crowd is reacting to what we're doing. We know our ending, but it's up to us to do the rest of the match out there, what the crowd is reacting to. So I hope each younger wrestler I can wrestle with, I can give them an education in the ring, and also to the current fans, maybe present a different wrestling match on the card from the rest of the show. Because I believe in the 70s and 80s pro wrestling, and I like to pull out a lot of maneuvers and sequences from those days that the people don't even know about now, and it gets a reaction.
I love that. A little bit of old school, a little old school psychology, calling it in the ring. I like that.
Yes. Because also, I can't remember a whole match, too. So.
Yeah, that too, yeah. But it's always good.
If I'm trying to remember, how am I going to react to getting punched in the face? I'll be like, ooh, I got hit in the head. Oh, what's next? Tackle drop down. Blah, blah, blah. No. And then you take the crowd out of it. So,
Plus, I noticed too, and it just happened, even WWE, I've seen this happen at the Royal Rumble. They screwed up a spot and they couldn't think on their feet of what to do next because they weren't calling the ring. They just did the same exact spot over again, and then they nailed it that time. And then they remembered what was after. It looked really bad.
Yeah. That's why guys like Les Thatcher and Rip Rogers, they train you to call it in the ring. That way, if things go south in the ring, things get screwed up, you can get by in the ring doing something like, okay, now we're back on track where we're going. If you don't have that training, you're getting the deer in the headlights. Oh, my God, what do we do? It's like, well, you can't start the match over. You got to keep going. And thankfully, I was trained that way. And that's also why I can still wrestle at 48 is because how I was trained and how to take care of myself in the ring.
Right. Absolutely. And I just feel like if these guys and girls can't think on their feet and do that, it just looks so fake. Like, oh wow, they're doing the same exact spot twice in a row after they screwed up. Like, what is going? It just takes you out of the match. Just like,
oh absolutely, and it takes the fans out of the match. I mean, the crowd already knows it's prearranged, but when you have wrestlers in there good enough, they will take you in that moment and take you for that roller coaster ride when it's done properly.
Yeah, the suspension of disbelief. You kind of, you know, you get into it for a bit there.
Absolutely.
Now, what's next?
As a heel, I don't have 5-star matches. I try to get 5-star heat from the crowd.
Right.
That's my job. I was trained at that school, but I always wanted to be more like Honky Tonk Man than like I was never the technical wrestler like Nigel McGuinness and BJ Whitmer were. I wanted to be that loudmouth WWF heel, you know, flamboyant, charismatic. That was more my bag. And it gets me by today.
Hey, Honky Tonk Man had so much heat. It ridiculous. He was so over. Yeah.
And how about this? When I wrestled Honky Tonk Man, I was so over that Honky Tonk Man defeated me with the guitar. So, hey, it took a guitar by Honky Tonk Man to defeat Rory Fox. And I'll always celebrate that too.
That's awesome because you know Honky Tonk hit some damn legends with that guitar. Macho Man explicitly hitting Macho Man with it. Yes, yeah, so that's awesome to get the
guitar. And I got a picture with Honky Tonk Man that night too, and that's a photo I'll always treasure as well. Take the photographs because I'm telling you, when you're older and later in life, you'll appreciate those photos. And I love my picture with Harley Race, one with Ricky Steamboat. And, oh, my God. Oh, and then outside of wrestling, I got one with Billy Idol on his way back to his hotel room. And just take those pictures.
Damn, that's a good one. Damn, the legend, Billy Idol. Nice. What's next for you? What do you got coming up down the pike?
Well, that's what I was going to talk to you about when we talked earlier.
Yeah,
I was going to have a championship match in the main event of Central Empire Wrestling, but we had the biggest snowstorm since the 70s. And then that just goes to show you, too, I was going to wrestle the main event at one promotion in Iowa and then in Minneapolis for Steel Domain Wrestling. I wrestled in the championship there in the main event, but they closed their doors after 26 years. So that's the thing. I'm hitting St. Louis. I'm in Kansas City. I'm Sioux City. Wherever we can in Iowa, and I go to Minneapolis, and I just keep that loop going. And every now and then, if I get flown to New York to go do the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, one of their shows, great. But, you know, I'm kind of done trying to chase the whole WWE dream extra work. I don't know if I want to wear a suit all day, and yes, sir, no, sir. I hate suits, you know, but yeah, I'm just if I don't get to go back ever again, that's fine. But I'm loving just doing my little Midwest loop and rubbing elbows with whatever legends on the show. Well, yeah, another one. I got to wrestle Ricky Morton, and I got a great picture with him too. It's just so many great memories that I've received from this business just by staying in the business long enough. You get so many opportunities and just great memories if you can stick it out.
Now, as far as where everybody can find you and see you, where are you social media wise?
All right. So Instagram, I have Rory Fox 11. Yes, I know 11. I couldn't get Rory Fox 1. I'm on Twitter as well, RoryFox_. Rory Fox is on TikTok. I got my Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's prowrestlingtees.com/RoryFox11. Usually have some new shirts popping up in here. Here's my little retro rapid delivery 1999 shirt. What do I have? Oh, yeah, I still have some micro brawlers. The always angry Rory Fox micro brawler that, thanks to Matt Cardona, I will give him props for that. He allowed me to have a micro brawler created. So, yeah, come on out. I'll be at SICW this weekend. I'll be back in Kansas City on February 17th. And, you know, I'm wrestling all over Iowa and Minnesota. So I love it. Hopefully I can make it till 50.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe somebody's stealing your name on social media. Somebody else took Rory Fox from you.
Yeah, damn it.
Now, as far as Cardona, is there going to be another rematch? Or are we going to definitely see another rematch?
I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Central Empire Wrestling in Iowa, the promoter had it lined up, Matt Cardona versus Rory Fox, 2 years ago. But two months before the show, I tore my quad.
Oh, bad luck.
It didn't even happen in the ring, which is the most ridiculous part, because people are like, oh, see, you're too old to be wrestling. You tore your quad. It didn't even happen in the ring. So Matt Cardona is still on the show, and we're trying to figure out, oh, who's going to wrestle Matt Cardona now? A month before the show, Matt Cardona tears his bicep.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, it just wasn't, I don't know if it's something from God or something, but it's like, damn it, if Rory Fox doesn't get to wrestle Matt Cardona, no one's gonna. So we had a face-off in the ring. I'm in my leg brace, and he's got his arm in a sling, and he's like, Rory, I'll take you on next year at Bridge City Slam, whatever the next year. And I was like, shake my hand. He's like, shake my hand. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you think, Kyle? Should I shake his hand? No. All right, I'll shake his hand. Then he gives me the finger and then walks off.
Oh.
Unfortunately, we didn't follow up on that match. He wasn't booked the next year because he's so busy. And I end up teaming with Cowboy Bob Orton. That was cool. But
that's awesome.
We're still waiting on the Matt Cardona Rory Fox match.
Yeah, that's,
but you know what's going to happen, though? He's going to end up signing with WWE so he doesn't have to face me.
He's avoiding you, yes.
Right. Woo, you know it.
But that rematch has got to happen no matter what. But Rory,
as I'm saying, so if he goes back to WWE, if I got to wait 5 years, I'll stick around just so I can have that match with Cardona. You're not off the hook yet, and you better be always ready because Rory Fox is too.
I love it. Rory, thank you so much for all the time today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.